Where is the demonstration of what God has promised you? Can anybody answer that? In what way? Shilda says physical. What do you mean? Where's the demonstration? In Jesus. Very good. What happened with Jesus? We're talking about a clarity of hope now. What happened with Jesus? We've seen him as a man, but we also seen him transformed, didn't we? He rose again. All right? Right. And in his resurrection, we seen that he was solid, had a real body, but yet it was a spiritual body. Right? We seen that he could appear and disappear at will. We seen in Jesus the hope of this gospel. We seen him overcome death. So the clarity of our hope is in Jesus. What's another way that he gave us this clarity so that we could observe it more carefully? He shared with us his nature, the Holy Spirit, through Jesus' death and resurrection. Through Jesus' death and resurrection, he sent us the Holy Spirit, who helps us in clarifying the promises of God. Is this not true? He sent us the Holy Ghost, who helps us, aims us at the resurrection. Doesn't he? Is this true? Does the Holy Spirit aim us at the resurrection? Is his whole purpose to bring you to that resurrection or not? To bring you to that promise and to assure you of that promise and to steady you on the course in that promise. So there is a wealth of clarity and support in what God has brought us. But it's not carnal. It's not carnal. And if you've got a fuzzy idea of the resurrection, then you're not invested in the hope of this gospel. And let me tell you the truth. No one that's not invested in the hope of this gospel will remain a disciple of Christ. No one who's not invested in the hope of this gospel can be a disciple of Christ. Is that true or not true? What do you think? So he starts off at the beginning. Listen to what Paul says. Don't you know that all of us, this is Romans 6, verse 3. Don't you know that all of us, that's everybody here, who were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into his death? We were therefore buried with him through baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life. So, it shows you these two things. It shows you, one, the pattern through Jesus, that Jesus was a man who trusted God, who depended upon God, and submitted to God's will, and submitted to death by God's will, and that God was trustworthy and lifted him up and made him glorious. Right? Changed his body from that of just being flesh and blood to something else. Now that's the first part you see in this, right? Jesus is the example of what your hope is in Christ, in God. All right? Second, it says that you may too live a new life. That now, through faith, you are planted with him in his death, that you may live a new life now. Right? And that's through the Holy Spirit, isn't it? The life you live now unto God by the Spirit. And so through the Spirit, you have guidance, support, and comfort, as well as a clarity of the hope, so that you can access the power of that hope now. You can live a new life now through faith. So we see these two things working together. The clarity of what is expressed in Jesus and the Holy Spirit's continued support in that clarity. You have a twofold cord here that will focus you on the truth Listen to this. Here's where your assurance comes in, and this is what it's getting at in verse 5. If we have been united with Him like this in His death, we will certainly also be united with Him in His resurrection. There's the clarity of hope. If you are submitted like Jesus now, and therefore united with Him in His death, then you do have the hope of being united with Him in His resurrection, don't you? Can you see the clarity there of the promise? Can you see those two aspects? Jesus is the example, and God's nature, the Holy Spirit, bringing you to it. That if you will lay your life down, He will lift you up. Right? If you're identified with Him in this thing, you'll be identified with Him in that thing. Clarity. Clarity, surety of promise. If we have been united like Him with us in His death, we will certainly also be united with Him in His resurrection. For we know that our old self was crucified with Him, so that the body of sin might be done away with. Now understand what it's saying. This body of sin, what's got to happen to it? Let me ask you, was Jesus' body done away with? Was it done away with? The body He had of flesh and blood as a man? Yes, it was done away with. That's what the change does. The body is done away with the way it is. It's changed. Death must be swallowed up by life. This body must be swallowed up by that body. This thing that has no glory, that's only a figure of glory, must become glorified. That's what it means, death swallowed up by life. All right? Jesus is the example. Because the point we're making here is that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Right? So Jesus wasn't restored as a flesh and blood man, was He? That was done away with. How was Jesus restored? And that body changed to be made spiritual so that it may be eternal. You see, the nature of that body is changed. So the flesh and blood is done away with. Is this true or not true? The flesh and blood must be done away with. Right? The body of Adam must be done away with. So listen to it. For we know that if our old self was crucified with Him, you know now if you're identifying yourself with Christ. Right? That we know that if our old self was crucified with Him, so that the body of sin might be done away with, this body must die, that we should no longer be slaves to sin. As long as this body's alive, you're a slave to sin. Because anyone who has died has been made free from sin. That's why you're dead by faith now. So that through faith you're free from sin, right? But in order to truly be free from sin, what do you truly have to do? In order to be truly free from sin, what do you truly have to do? You have to die. This body, the way it is, must die. Let me read concerning the resurrection of the dead what it tells us in 1 Corinthians 15. All right. If there is a natural body, all right, let me start earlier. So it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body that is sown is perishable. It is raised imperishable. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. Now, in order for us to really understand here, let's look at Jesus' body. Can we say, let's deal with the part you can deal with right off the bat. Jesus' body as a man, was it sown in weakness? Jesus' body as a man, was it sown in weakness? Yeah, flesh and blood is very weak, isn't it? It's exposed to the elements. Right? Flesh and blood is perishable. It is sown in weakness. but it is raised in glory. Jesus was sown in the weakness of a man, right? But he was raised in the power of the resurrection. That body changed, right? That body glorified. Now, could Jesus' body be destroyed by the elements then? Could Jesus' body catch fire and blow up like ours can't? Could Jesus' body get hit by a car and get crunched to smithereens? Could Jesus' kidneys fail? Could Jesus' cancer get cancer? No, none of that. But in the other body, all that was possible, wasn't it? See the point? All right. It is sown in dishonor. It is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness. It is raised in power. It is sown a natural body. It is raised a spiritual body. That's clarity of your hope, isn't it? Right? So, it must be destroyed the way it is, right? If there is a natural body, there's also a spiritual body. So the first man, Adam, became a living being, but the last Adam, a life-giving spirit. The spiritual didn't come first, but the natural, and after that, the spiritual. The first man was of the dust of the earth, perishable. The second man from heaven. And as was the earthly man, so those who are of the earth. And as is the man from heaven, so are those who are of heaven. And just as we have borne the likeness of the earthly man, so we shall also bear the likeness of the man from heaven. That's the clarity of hope. We will share in a resurrection like Jesus's, right? As Paul says in Philippians 3, he's going to take this body of mine and give me a supernatural body. Let me read you that in Philippians 3. Why we are looking for a Savior. The context of the fullness of this gospel lies in the hope of the resurrection of the dead. Listen to what Paul said. We're talking about why we need a clarity of hope. Because there is no true gospel without it. There is no true gospel without the clarity of hope. Listen to this. Chapter 3. I want to know Christ. Verse 10. Chapter 3 of Philippians. I want to know Christ and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of sharing in His sufferings, becoming like Him in His death, becoming like Him in His death, which means you have to die, and so somehow to attain the resurrection of the dead. And he goes on to say at the end of this chapter, in verse 20, but our citizenship is in heaven, and we eagerly await a Savior from there, the Lord Jesus Christ, who, by the power that enables Him to bring everything under His control, will transform our lowly bodies so that they will be like His glorious body. Can they see that? The clarity of hope. The clarity of the hope is the resurrection. Now, I'm reading all this to you because we're going to go back to Romans 6 in a second, and you're going to see something amazing. One more thing I want to read to you is right before Paul said all that in Philippians, he made this point in Philippians 3. He made this point. Join with others in following my example, verse 17, brothers, and take note of this as who live according to the pattern we gave you. For as often as I have told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many lives as enemies of the cross of Christ. You, if you are avoiding your death, your submission, you're an enemy of the cross of Christ. And that's what you got to understand. If you are avoiding your death with Christ, then you'll never have life with Christ. And if you avoid the cross of Christ that you're called to die, then you make yourself an enemy of that cross, don't you? Those who live according to the pattern we gave you, for I've often told you before, and now say again, even with tears, many live as enemies of the cross of Christ. Their destiny is destruction. Why? Because they held on to the flesh. And it must die. Their God is their stomach. They're concerned about physical things, not spiritual things. Their glory is in their shame. They glory in the physical. And what must be destroyed? They glory in that weakness and that dishonor instead of the strength and power of God. Their mind is on earthly things, but our citizenship is in heaven. See, and every day you make that choice. You make that decision, which has to do very much with the clarity of your hope. Are you an eternal being, or are you a temporary one? Do you live according to this life's concerns, or do you live according to eternal concerns? Well, let's go back and invest all that we've just went through back here in Romans 6. Invest it. Put it together. If we have been united with Him like this in His death, we will certainly also be united with Him in His resurrection. How? We've seen Jesus die, and we've seen He's resurrected. Right? He's the example. We have the Holy Spirit who assures us that He is the truth, that He did die and rise again. Right? We have an assurance. We know that our old self was crucified with Him through this doctrine, right? That the body of sin might be done away with. This body, the way it is, this weakness, must be done away with. That we should no longer be slaves to sin. Because as long as you're in this body, you are a slave to sin. That's what appears. Because anyone who has died has been made free from sin. So through faith, we consider ourselves now dead with Him. That's submission. That we may consider ourselves alive with Him. That's hope. So now if we died with Christ, we believe we will also live with Him. For we know that since Christ was raised from the dead, He cannot die again. There is an assurance there, isn't it? He's eternal. Death no longer has mastery over Him. When does death have mastery over you? Only when you're in this body of death. The death He died to sin once for all. But the life He lives to God. In the same way, and here's your faith, in the same way, count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body, so that you obey its evil desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God. That's submission, isn't it? Offering your members as those who have been brought from life to death. Live as if you have been resurrected. Offer your parts to God in service as His servants, as those who were bought with that price. You've been identified with Him in His death, and now you identify with Him in His resurrection. And that's where we live by faith, in that identity of His resurrection. We don't walk by what we see. We acknowledge that what we do see must die. We acknowledge that what we do see is not enough. We acknowledge that it must pass away, and it's its nature to pass away. We acknowledge the life we have here is not the life that's promised. So you can see both the death of in submission with God and the clarity of hope in this, can't you? There is an extreme clarity of forever here. And this has got to become the center of your life. Otherwise, you're going to live for what you see. You won't have a choice. Because your faith will never be centered without a clarity of this hope. That's the truth. That's the amazing thing you should see. That your faith will never be centered without a clarity of hope. And if all you have is a fuzzy idea of what the hope of this gospel is, then you are not going to serve God. Your incentive in serving God is the resurrection of the dead. That is the hope you have trusted Him with. That is the promise He has made to you. He has made to you a promise of the eternal. And if you have no value of the eternal and no respect for the things that are invisible, then you will live only for what you see. And if you live only for what you see, you will be destroyed, because that's where you've invested your life. So you can see this nature that was given to you, the Holy Spirit, is to lead you to a clarity of the resurrection, to have an assurance that is so clear that it reaches even beyond what faith is, where you know absolutely you can count on God to keep His promise. And then you can walk in a supernatural way. Can you see that? All of this should get you to that supernatural place. That submission of obedience should bring you to that place of living a supernatural life. And that's where you see the miracles happen. Because your life is not based anymore on temporary things, but a clarity of eternal things. Jesus is the full demonstration of that to us. And we need to learn how to walk in it. Amen?